Welcome to Digging Deep, the podcast where we offer bereavement bites for time-pressed professionals. I'm Heather Kightley, second-generation funeral director and president and CEO of GFD. And today on our podcast, we have Michelle Glendening, director of operations for Henry Walser Funeral Home. Michelle is a powerhouse funeral professional. She will probably tell you she's not, but I have seen her in action, and she is who I want to be when I grow up. She's director of operations and a funeral director at Henry Walser Funeral Home since it opened in 2001. Holy smokes, we're getting old, Michelle. As someone who is very passionate about her career in funeral service, she volunteers many hours public speaking in her community. She is also a GFD alumni. She was on the board of the GFD board of directors for almost a decade, 2009 to 2015. I am so excited for our conversation today. We are going to be talking about how nobody knows anything. The lack of pre-need education among Canadians. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you.
Excited to be here.
This is so much fun. Okay, let's dig in.
Okay.
According to our research study, only 1 in 5 Canadians have done any serious thinking about their funeral arrangements, pre-need or otherwise. Does this surprise you?
No.
Welcome.
And I have many points to that. First would be people don't have money, so they feel that they need to have money if they want to make pre-arrangements. So that's a real misunderstanding in our profession to people who wish to give their wishes, but maybe choose not to.
Yeah. Like it's a barrier, right? Because people think, oh, I need to have a whole bunch of cash in order to do this, which is so not true. We'll dig into that in a second. What else do you think is going on?
Well, I would say our cultural differences. People in many different religions, cultures, choose not to prearrange because they have the maybe thoughts that it will enhance them to die quicker, or they have their own family. They have their own families that will arrange their funerals. They use their children to arrange their funerals. They don't need to be proactive on it. They will have somebody to support them at that time.
You know what? You just reminded me of, you remember Sheila Nunn, right?
Yes, of course.
And I remember the first time I ever heard her do a community presentation, and she stood up there in front of everyone and she's like, okay, talking about death doesn't mean you're going to die. It's not going to make you die. And I remember going, oh my gosh, that seems so like extreme, but it's so true, right? Because people think, oh, if I talk about this, it means that something's going to happen to me.
If I prearrange my mother's funeral, I'm wishing her to die, right? Which is definitely not the case. It's to be prepared.
And you know what's interesting about that? And I would expect that your experience would align with mine, right? So I found 90% of the time when I met with families, there was like that initial mistrust or nervousness, right? About, oh my gosh. Because I think what people's idea of what pre-arrangement is in their mind is like so beyond the reality, right? Like, who do they think they're going to be meeting with? Oh, like some, you know, creepy funeral professional. And they come in and they see people like us, right? And almost 100% of the time, people will be like, at the end, oh my gosh, that was so much easier than I thought it was going to be, and I feel so much better. Do you find that too?
People walk out and go, oh, that's it? That's all we need to do? Right? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's so funny. You know, it's almost like you would love to be able to sit down and talk to people and say, like, tell me what you think this was going to be like, and hear what they have to say. Right?
For
amazing.
Sure. Yeah.
Any other barriers? What do you think?
I think people just don't know the details that go into funerals, right? So
do you think that means they don't know, like, how many decisions there are? Or do you think that's scary for them? Or do you think, like, they get in and they go, oh, this is, like, way more than I thought? What do you think?
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. People, if you've never experienced making funeral arrangements before, to be asked a whole bunch of questions, and for many people it's for themselves, right? Like, wow, I never really thought about that. I don't really know, right? So it's a great time for people to get good information, right?
Yeah.
But unbeknownst to them, they don't really know what they don't know.
Right, right. Until they come in and then you're like, oh, there's so many things.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to talk about the elephant in the room for a second.
Okay.
Which is, if I meet with the funeral director, you're going to pressure me into a whole bunch of stuff. And you and I have talked about this like a lot. And you have a really wonderful way of helping families understand quickly what it is that you're doing together. And I want you to talk about that a little bit, because when we talked about this the last time, I walked away from that conversation thinking, like, what an amazing way to just disarm people. So, and we didn't talk about this ahead, so let me bring you back to that conversation. You're like, what did I say? So when you're meeting with families and they say, I just want a direct cremation. Take it from there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that it can be difficult, right? Because some people do have their wishes in mind and be very simple. But my theory always is the funeral is for you, but it's about you, but it's for the family.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I always say, how does your family feel about this? And a lot of times people go, well, I don't really know because we never talked to our family about it. It's like, you know, you need to go home and review this all with your family and ask them these same questions, because they may have a different outlook than what you do. And that's not really fair that you're making a very basic decision for somebody else in your family when they now have to deal with your passing for the rest of their life, right? Yeah. Not just at that moment. It's something they need to move forward and be able to feel comfortable doing for the rest of their lives.
And those conversations take a lot of courage, right? Because the easiest thing is to do is say, okay, whatever, what do you want, right?
Absolutely.
I remember I did this pre-arrangement with this guy. He was probably about 35. And he came in and he said, oh, I don't want to do anything. Well, he wanted to have a celebration, right? But he, when it came to discussion about whether or not anyone would see his body, right? And here he was, like, this 35-year-old guy. He was, I think, in a relationship at the time. And I remember having this really awkward conversation with him about, okay, I know you don't think that your body is important, but someone in your family, it might be really important that they see you and they spend time with you. And I remember having that conversation with him, and he was like, it was weird, right? Because he just sort of, you could see that he felt awkward thinking about the fact that someone would want to see his dead body. But I think that far too often, sometimes we're afraid to have those conversations.
But isn't that our job?
It is.
It's our job to share knowledge with people, because we know we're the professionals, right?
Exactly.
Just like your topic, they don't know what they don't know. We know.
And they can't imagine, right? So, like, how many, especially now, what you can meet with families who are, like, well into their 40s and 50s who have never had the experience of death before, right? And so they can't even imagine what they might need, which I think makes all of this stuff that much harder. And you have a really wonderful way of saying, of changing that narrative for the family. So I remember you telling me, family comes in and they say, oh, I just want to be cremated. And you say, yeah, of course, no problem. And how are we going to celebrate your mom?
Right.
So it's not a pre-arrangement, but I thought it was just a really magical way to just sort of reorient everyone as to what are we actually doing here, right?
I like to use the word honor.
Yeah.
How do we honor your family member? How do you want to be honored? Right? Because I know everybody has a story and that should be shared. So how do we honor your story?
And how do we have those conversations with people? And how do we give ourselves the time and space and permission to have those conversations? Because I think, so you and I have been around for a little while. We have done this work for a while. But, you know, if you're just starting out as a funeral director and, you know, you're meeting with someone who maybe is older than you, right? Who has maybe has a little more lived experience than you, having the courage to have those really hard conversations to orient them to looking at their pre-arrangements from a different perspective, I think is...
And I think it is exactly what you said. There's nothing to hide, right? I think you can just say, as a young funeral director, and just say, I'm going to have a courageous conversation with you. There is an importance to your life, to who you are. How do you think people would want to honor you? Because all you've chosen, when somebody chooses just a basic cremation or a basic burial services, all you've chosen is your disposition. You really haven't chosen anything that honors you.
And I think what you said in the very beginning of our conversation, which is common, and we say it a lot, but is profound, which is the decisions that you make in pre-arrangement are going to affect your family for the rest of their lives.
Right.
And yet how often do people come in and they don't actually involve their family? And sometimes if you're doing pre-need, it takes courage to say to them, we're not going to make any decisions today. I want you to go home and talk to your family. Because there can be, you know, are they going to come back? Are they going to finish it? Right.
Yeah, usually our home, it takes at least two meetings for a good pre-arrangement meeting, because there's so much information given to people in the first meeting. It's just more of a conversation.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to nobody knows anything, right? Because, like, I even found from 1990 to, when did I leave Frontline Funeral Service, late 2000s, that arrangements were getting longer. People knew less, right? And I think it's because, why do you think is that? Is it because there's less exposure to funeral service? Is it because maybe, you know, we're all kind of living longer? Or is it because we don't go to funeral services as much, so we don't see all of the different things there are to see? Because I know families will come in and you're just like you're ground zero with them in terms of even burial or cremation. What does that mean?
I think that it's choices. There's just a multiple amount of choices now, whereas years ago, everybody had visitation, everybody went to church, everybody had a burial, right? You had three questions pretty much in an arrangement. Now it's, you know, do you want to have visitation? Oh, do you want to have visitation with or without the casket person? Do you want to have a service? Oh, is that going to be in the funeral home, chapel, or at church? Oh, are you going to be cremated? Okay, well, are we going to bury the cremated remains? Is that on a family plot or is that your own plot? Like, it just goes on, right?
You want to worry with that. Like, there's so many things,
sure,
right?
Yeah, like the options are endless for people. Slideshow presentations. You know, 35 years ago, we didn't even have technology to do that, right? Memorial cards took us 3 weeks to create. So all those things are just at our fingertips now, right?
And all of those things make it more meaningful and bring value, but it also, the increased complexity makes it harder to plan, right? And,
and just makes it longer.
And more confusing. And what do I really want?
Right.
And how do you guide people through that?
Right.
What you're talking about reminds me of GFD's very first certificates back in 1961. It was $500, and you got a certificate that said, you can take this certificate to any participating funeral home. It will give you everything that you need for a funeral and a cloth casket. And then if you bought the 800 series, it gave you everything you needed for a funeral and an oak casket, right? Because everyone had the exact same funeral.
Right, exactly.
Can you imagine what that must have been? But I remember that my dad used to talk about that all the time, right? You would go into the casket selection room and you would pick your casket and that would be everyone.
Well, and look at Priceless, or not Priceless, our contracts now. Back in the day when you and I were young, we had one price in our casket selection room that was all your service fee, caskets, everything was included in it. And people say, well, what's included in that? Everything,
right?
That's all you need to say. Now it's all on a line basis and people are picking, what does that include? What does that mean? It's a little bit more difficult, especially for younger directors, to try and decipher and explain exactly what that means with confidence, right?
And there's the two sides of that. So you have, yes, it was a simpler time, but you had funeral ceremonies that were basically cookie cutter and meaningless, right? And so it's finding that balance between the need for increased complexity in order to bring value and for people to find meaning, So let's talk about, okay, we know that there's complex. We know that it's difficult. We know that it's going to take a long time. How do we get the word out that because of all of those reasons, planning is even more important? So what are some of the things you guys are doing in your community to reach out to families, to bring them in, to have conversations?
Well, I would say our number one would be our aftercare team. So
talk about that. That is like my passion.
Yeah. So important. Aftercare, I believe. Everybody thinks wrong. For me, it's really important. I believe that for the simple fact that a funeral really doesn't end after you do burial cremation, right? After service. We need to walk these people to the end of the journey, right? Even though it's short with us, we need to keep walking with them. So an aftercare meeting is great because it shares really good information about estates and what they may need to do next. Part of that conversation is, you ever think about your pre-arrangements? Or, you know, you just saw how much work that was to make your dad's funeral arrangements. You still have mom, who's elderly. Would that be something that you'd be comfortable of making pre-arrangements?
So talk about courageous conversations. That's a big one. How do you get to, because a lot of funeral directors can't get there, right? I've trained a lot of funeral directors on having those conversations with family, which to me I get to because I think we have an obligation for all the reasons that we've been talking about on this podcast. How did you get there?
Exactly that. We feel that it's such an important conversation, both for the families and for the funeral homes, for their businesses, right? Like, you have to look at it that end of it too. It's not just to benefit the family. It's also to help your own business continue to grow into the future. And, you know, I do know pre-arrangements, you don't have to order oil to the funeral home, but if you know that families still support you and they're going to use you in who knows how long, and that longevity of your funeral home is better, you can still maintain your employment and your staff.
And you believe in your being that you are the best place for them, right? Like, you believe, I think you have to have that. I mean, every funeral home has it, but if you truly believe that, wherever you are, in whatever, because I'm sure some of our listeners here truly believe that from the place that either the funeral homes are managing or the places that they own. If you really feel convicted about that, then why would you want anyone else to look after your folks, right?
Exactly. Especially if they've been happy or satisfied, I guess is more of the word, satisfied with the services you provided, why would you want them to go somewhere else, right?
Yeah. Huge. Okay, we are at the end. Like, that time just flew by.
Okay.
So that concludes this episode of Digging Deep. I want to thank my guest, Michelle Glendenning, for joining me today. Again, my name is Heather Kiteley, President and CEO of GFD. Thanks so much, Michelle. We'll definitely have you back.
Thank you. Thanks.